appreciate my friendship with this church and Bishop and Sister Kramer. It's been 23 years the first time I preached here, 23 years ago. So I must have been 10 years old, all right, the first time I preached here. So, and now with Brother and Sister Harry, this is actually my 56th time in this pulpit. And I see so many faces that I recognize, and I commend you for your faithfulness, you know, to God. You know, he's been faithful to me, and I want to be faithful to him. And the Lord is worthy of every hand clap and every raised hand and every hallelujah. We sang that song, I'm free to run, free to dance. I wish they'd put one more line in there. I'm free to witness. You know, really. So this is 2018. If you didn't win a soul in 2018, boy, 2019, that's a good desire to have for this year, everybody. I've said it here before. All a church has to do to double in 1 year is everybody win somebody. Everybody win somebody. So I encourage you to do that. And my morning service was canceled because of the snow. But yet when I was driving up here, the parking lot at the outlet mall was jammed with cars. You know, I thought that was kind of interesting, you know, but it's good to have you here. And if you're a guest or a visitor here tonight, I pray that the word of the Lord will be easy to understand, meaningful to you. And at the close of this message, this altar area will be open. I like this huge altar area here. Amen. So there's room for everybody. And if you've never been to an apostolic altar, why don't you let that happen to your heart tonight? Jesus is not impressed with phraseology or good sentence structure or good grammar, but you can talk to Jesus like your best friend. And listen, nobody loves you like Jesus loves you. So let's open our Bibles to Psalm 119 tonight. Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 1. It says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. Blessed are those who walk in the law of the Lord. Let's pray one more time, shall we? Again, Jesus, thank you for an opportunity to be in your house one more time. Thank you, Jesus, God, for your precious word. God, I ask that you'll help me to minister your word tonight. You know the spiritual need of every individual that is in this house. So, God, again, I pray, God, that again, Lord, that the word of the Lord will penetrate our hearts, God, by the working of your spirit. For your glory and for your honor, in Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated this evening. Now, one translation for Psalm 119 and verse 1 for the word blessed, literally saying, happy, fortunate, to be envied, are individuals who are undefiled. And happy, fortunate, to be envied are individuals who walk in the law of the Lord. Now, the world out here has a totally negative concept of Christianity and living for God. They think it's all rules and restrictions, hardback pews, offering plates. You know, this is Warden L.J. Harry, you know, and we're all in prison. And we can't go here, and we can't go there. We got to do this. We got to do that. You know, and that's their concept. I've heard people say, I'm not going back to that church. They want money. And you go to McDonald's all the time, and they want money. And this is better than a Big Mac. All right? But that's their whole concept, you know. But the Bible says, happy, fortunate, to be envied are individuals who walk in the law of the Lord. Now, if you want to feel sorry for somebody tonight, don't feel sorry for Jonathan Mackey. Feel sorry for the man who wakes up with a hangover tomorrow morning. Feel sorry for the individual who dies of an overdose of drugs tonight. Feel sorry for the man who has never been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Feel sorry for the man that has no hope of heaven in his soul. And don't feel sorry for yourself either. Oh, poor me, I'm just a little apostolic, can't do anything anymore. No, happy, fortunate, to be envied are individuals who walk in the law of the Lord. But the term that gets to everybody is that last phrase, the law. The law of the Lord. Now, aren't you glad we have laws in the United States of America? I'm glad it's against the law for someone to drunk drive down the highway. I'm glad it's against the law for someone to take a gun and shoot me. I'm glad it's against the law for someone to break into your house and steal all your furniture when you're sitting in church in a Sunday night service. Where would we be without laws? Pick up the newspaper and read it. The bad news are because people break the law. Now, where did we ever get the idea that we need law and order? The God that created us is a God of law and a God of order. Because without law, there would be total danger, chaos, confusion, and fear. Now, this book you're holding tonight, it's not just a pretty book with a leather cover, maps in the back, silken pages, red print where Jesus talked. This book is not the law of Ohio. It is not the law of the United Nations. But this book is the law of God. This is God's law. Now keep your finger in Psalm 119 and let's turn to the book of John chapter 12 and verse 48 for a moment. John chapter 12 and verse 48. John chapter 12 and verse 48, Jesus is speaking, and Jesus said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same word shall judge him in the last day." Individuals can come into a church and say, "I reject Jesus and I reject his word." You can reject Jesus and reject his word, but it does not release you from accountability to God. You can reject Jesus and reject his word, but you still have one that's going to judge you. And Jesus said, "The word that I have spoken, the same word," let's all say word, "the same word shall judge him in the last day." I'm here to remind everyone in this house, we're not going to be judged by what we think, what we feel, what our opinion is. We're not going to be judged by what Grandma says, by what Uncle Harry says, by what Aunt Mary says. We're not going to be judged by what Joseph Smith said. We're not going to be judged by what Confucius said. We're not going to be judged, you know, by what Muhammad said. But listen, everybody, we're going to be judged by what the Word of God says. And someday, every individual in this house, someday you're going to hear the word of God again. It's not going to be a guest minister or your pastor standing in this pulpit. It's going to be God himself who opens up this book, and we're going to be judged by what the word of God says. That's why you are so blessed in Mount Vernon to have a church that really believes the word of God. We really do. Now, let's turn back in our Bibles to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Word of God. The longest. 176 verses. And every verse but two makes direct reference to the Word of God. It's called the law of God, the statutes of God, the precepts of God, the testimonies of God. And you can read Psalm 119 and find out, what is the right attitude to have to the Word of God? Do you understand? And I know you know this, but your attitude really makes the difference in a lot of things. Boy, it's good for people to have the right attitude and not the wrong attitude. Have a good attitude, not a rotten attitude, before this book is going to be a blessing in your individual life, you need to have the right attitude, all right, to the Word of God. So we're going to talk about proper attitudes to the Word, because I want all of you to be blessed who walk in the law of the Lord. Now it says in verse 9 of Psalm 119, it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? It answers the question by taking heed thereto according to thy word, by paying attention to what the word of God says. Now I have been privileged to travel in 70 countries of the world. And you see a lot of strange things when you travel in other cultures and in other countries. In Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, they have a temple there of 1,000 stairs. And every February, these individuals will take long needles and pins, and they will stick one through this side of their cheek and out this side. They will stick their tongue out and put one crossways in their tongue so their tongue cannot recede into their mouth. They will put these pins under the loose skin, under their arms, and on their rib cage, and they will decorate them with flowers and ribbons, and they will hang stones and weights on these pins, and then they will crawl up 1,000 stairs, because at the top of those stairs is a little clay jar where you can put your prayers, your written prayers in that jar, because a priest has told them this will cleanse you and your prayers will be answered more quickly. When I was at the Vatican in Rome, I saw a man come crawl up the two steps from Vatican Square into the Vatican. He crawled down the long aisle, kissed the altar, crawled back out, crawled down the steps, back again. His pants legs were tore and his knees were a bloody mess, because somehow he has the concept, this will cleanse me. So does putting pins through your skin and crawling up 1,000 stairs cleanse a person? Does crawling up and down the steps of the church till your knees bleed cleanse a person? Does sitting in a church service on a Sunday night cleanse a person? Does clapping hands cleanse a person? Does putting money in an offering plate cleanse a person? It does not cleanse a person. But your cleansing begins when you put yourself under the authority of the Word of God. And you let the Word of God penetrate your heart, your mind, your spirit, and your attitude. How is a young man made clean? By taking heed to what the Word of God says. That is why in this service tonight can be the beginning of your cleansing in the sight of God, because the Word of God is being preached. Now, I remember preaching a revival, and a woman brought her unsaved husband to a Sunday morning service. He didn't come to the altar, and he didn't come Sunday night. But she called the pastor on Tuesday, excited, and said, "Oh, pastor, my husband is a changed man." He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "He hasn't smoked, you know, since Saturday. I haven't heard him curse since Saturday. I mean, he's saying please and thank you, and he's opening the car door for me and everything. He's a gentleman." Now, I don't know if he's going to stay that way without the Holy Ghost. But folks, know what it was? It was the cleansing effect from one message from the Word of God. So, you know, sin is a transgression of the law. Sin is breaking the law of God. So whenever we have a church service, we don't know who's going to come through the doors. But if someone out there is living in disobedience and transgressing the law of God, folks, it doesn't take much for someone to proclaim what the law of God is and for the individual to feel conviction. And it is good to feel conviction. And then it brings them to an altar. They repent of their sins. They are baptized by immersion in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of those sins. And they receive the Holy Ghost with the Bible evidence of speaking with other tongues. But it all begins with hearing a message from the Word of God, because faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. And how can they hear without a preacher? But then after you are in the church, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, God cleanses his church with the washing of water by the Word. Every time you come to church, it's your spiritual bath and it's your spiritual shower. Now, I like good hot showers. Now, when I first started traveling, I was never able to pull a travel trailer. So a lot of times we stayed in the pastor's home. years ago. They were paying the water bill, so I took short showers. But when I'm in a hotel, yes. I turn the water on full blast. Turn it on as hot as I can stand it. And I mean, I stand under that shower. I got to hit my face, my chest, my back. Folks, and when I get out of there, I mean, there's condensation dripping from the ceiling and the mirror is all steamed up. Don't you like good hot showers? Or don't you like to take a tub and just fill it up and soak in a hot tub and you get out of there feeling squeaky clean? Don't you like a good hot bath? Do you like good hot preaching? Do you like good hot teaching? Preach to me, Brother Harry. Preach to me, Brother Kramer. Preach to me, Brother Mackey. I want to be clean in the sight of God. Now, do you ever stand under the shower and look at your watch? How long have I been under here now? You don't do that. But when I'm preaching, I see people looking at their watch. How long have we been? Listen, boy, it's getting steamy in here now, is it not? Listen, Raymond, you need to come to church and say, I'm going to soak up the preaching of the Word of God. Because how is a young man made clean? By taking heed to what the Word of God says. Now, some people go to church every Easter and every Christmas. That's like taking two baths a year. No, I don't know how to say this delicately, but it's you can tell when somebody needs a bath. They stink, you know? And know what happens when you're haphazard about coming to church? You don't read this Bible every day, you know? You just don't give it you just don't give it any thought. After a while, the thoughts in your head stink, and your attitude stink, and the words that drop off of your tongue stink. And what you need is a cleansing effect that can only come, amen, from the preaching of the Word of God. How is a young man made clean? By taking heed to what the Word of God says. Amen. Let's clap our hands for the cleansing of the Word, shall we? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Now, attitude number one, it's my cleansing. Now let's look at verse 32 and verse 60. It's the same attitude. Verse 32 of Psalm 119, I will run. Let's all say run. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Verse 60, I made haste and delayed not to keep, to obey thy commandments. What a great attitude. I will run. I will make haste and not delay to do what the Word of God tells me to do. As a full-time evangelist, I'm always thankful for anyone who's in the house of God. And I'm thankful for every visitor that's in the house of God. But have you ever invited someone out to church? Hey, come on to church with me. Come on, let God touch your life. Come on, let God take away your sin. And it seems like there's a 100-pound weight around each leg. Yeah, maybe I'll get there sometime. And we've been asking them now for 5 years. But the Bible describes the wicked. The feet of the wicked are swift, and they run to do evil. They'll run to the casino, you know, run to the tavern, run to the dance hall. They'll run. But boy, but to come to God's house, boy, maybe I'll get there sometime. But I'm here to tell everyone, if you want to be right with God, you should drag your feet to do something evil. But you should run. You should make haste. You should not delay to do what the Word of God tells you to do. I wish people would still run to altars and repent of their sin. Make haste and get in this water and be baptized in the name of Jesus. And not delay in doing and seeking and hungering for the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. What's your attitude? Some people read the Word of God like tax lawyers. They're always looking for loopholes. You know, well, Jesus said this, and old Peter said that, and I just think Peter made a mistake. You know, well, that is an Old Testament scripture, you know. But listen, everybody. You're not going to be saved looking for loopholes in the Word of God, because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and there's no contradictions to the Word of the Lord. Amen. So instead of looking for loopholes, no, it's just, Lord, I'm going to run, I'm going to make haste and not delay to do what the Word of God tells me to do. Attitudes. Number one is my cleansing. Number two, I'm going to run to do it. Let's look at verse 72 of Psalm 119. Verse 72, the law of thy mouth is better, not bitter, better unto me than thousands of gold and thousands of silver. Now, I don't know anyone in this building at all very well. Maybe some of you have thousands of gold. You have all these gold bars stacked up underneath your bed. Every morning you dust them off and put them on the scale, and it's worth about $1,252 an ounce. Or else you got bags of silver up in the closet. You're just waiting for the value to come up, you know, just a little bit higher. Listen, if you have thousands of gold and thousands of silver, this book is better than that. Because thousands of gold and thousands of silver will not keep your marriage together. Thousands of gold and silver will not keep your kids out of prison. Thousands of gold and silver will not give you peace of mind. But the law of the Lord will keep your marriage together. The law of the Lord will keep your kids out of prison. The law of the Lord will give you peace of mind. Yep. And David was a king that said this. He had thousands of gold and thousands of silver. But the reason he was a man after God's own heart was because of his attitude toward spiritual things. He would walk into the house of the Lord and say, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. And he would walk into the treasure house and say, oh Lord, your word is better unto me than thousands of gold and thousands of silver. I remember preaching a revival at a church, and I've been there many times, and there was a couple in this church that had one of the largest farms in the state. And so after a Sunday morning service, the farmer and his wife invited the pastor and his wife and Sister Mackie and me out to their house for Sunday dinner. And this is still some of the best fried chicken I've ever had as an evangelist. So she's frying the chicken. So while they're doing that, the farmer takes me out in his tractor. All right. You know, a little ways, and we sit in the tractor. He said, Brother Mackie, as far as you can see that way, it's my land. As far as you can see that way, it's my land. As far as you can see that way, it's my land. Until those trees back there is my land. But he was so busy planting and harvesting crops and milking his dairy herd, he could only get to church one Sunday morning or one Sunday night a month. All right? So not too long after that revival, I was there the first time, this man did commit adultery, all right? And through grace, forgiveness, all right, and mercy, the marriage was restored. So we're preaching revival again, and the farmer and his wife invite the pastor and his wife and Sister Mackie me out to their house. Thank God for fried chicken, you know, so for some more fried chicken. So we get in his tractor again, and we go out into the field. And he said, Brother Mackie, I've sold most of that land, and I've sold most of that land, and I've sold one-third of my dairy herd. And he sat right in that tractor, and he said, I'd rather have a little farm and a lot of God than a big farm and none of God. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world, but he loses his own soul? What really counts is your relationship to God. And therefore, folks, the law of God is better to me than thousands of gold and thousands of silver. Folks, I'm talking about the Bible tonight. Folks, it's my cleansing. I'm going to run to do it, and it's better than gold and silver. Now, let's look at verse 103, Psalm 119, verse 103. It says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste. Mm-mm-mm. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Now, I was born and raised in Duluth, Minnesota. And it wasn't until I was an evangelist that I went to the Deep South. Now, Mount Vernon, Ohio is not the Deep South. All right. I'm talking about Wisner, Louisiana. Wisner. All they have is a blinking light. They don't have a Starbucks or anything, you know. It's not even a hotel. So Sister Maggie and I are in a hotel 20 miles down the road. So the first night in service, here in this little town of Whistler, I'm sitting on the front row waiting for the pastor and everyone to get on the platform. And while I'm there, one of the men of the church, one of the saints of the church, comes up to me and says, "So you're a Yankee, huh?" And I said, "I'm from the north, yes." And know what he said? He said, "I was up north once." I said, "Really, where?" He said, "Atlanta, Georgia." He said, "They knew how to worship God up there," he said. But anyway, so the pastor invited Sister Maggie and me to their home for supper one night. So we went to the house, and I sat down at this table, and I saw food I had never seen before in my entire life as a Yankee. All right, here's a platter of jalapeno cornbread. All right, here's some black-eyed peas. Here's a whole. Here's some mustard greens. All right, and here's a platter of farm-raised, corn-fed catfish fillets. And I sat down at that table, and that pastor said, "Brother Mackey, I'm going to put some south in your mouth," is what he said. And you know what? I will preach south every year for catfish. Really, really. But I tell you what, folks, those mustard greens, I've never eaten them since. But I think I still taste the first ones I ever ate because they were pretty busy and I mean, they were pretty bitter, and they just set my teeth on edge, you know. And so even the pastor's wife admitted they needed more sugar or something. But anyway, but the scripture says, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste," because you can taste preaching, can you not? You can taste it. You ought to see the way people look at me sometimes when I preach. They're out there with their body language folded in their arms, staring at me. I don't like this Brother Mackey. Who is he anyway? And folks, and I'm a nice evangelist. I don't yell at the sound man or anything. I mean, I shake your hand, I'll smile. I'm a nice man. But if a man is preaching the word of God and you don't like it, the problem is not with the word. The problem is with your taste buds. "How sweet are your words to my taste." Yeah, oh Lord. All right. "Sweeter than honey to my mouth." Boy, notice, I like English muffins toasted dark with real butter and a quarter inch of honey on top. Boy, you bite into that and the honey curls down the corners of your mouth. That's the only time it is legal to lick your fingers, okay? All right. Is when it's honey. I mean, boy, and to think that it is sweeter than honey to my mouth. "How sweet are your words to my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Oh, man. Folks, I'm talking about the word of God. It's my cleansing. I'm going to run to do it. It's better than gold and silver, and it's sweeter than honey. Boy, isn't this good? Give us some more. Okay, I will. All right. Let's look at verse 128. Verse 128. It says, "Therefore," in other words, as a result of everything that has been said before this, "therefore I esteem all," let's everyone say all, "I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right." Hey, everybody, the word of God is right. It's right. It's right. It's right. It's right. The best thing that could happen in the service tonight is for every man, woman, and young person here that the word of God is elevated in your attitude and heart and spirit to a high place that says, "I esteem all of your precepts concerning all things to be right." The last church I pastored before I became an evangelist, I was talking with a man. We had the book of Acts, and we were talking about speaking with other tongues. And while we were talking, folks, I mean, you know, he was just getting upset, and, you know, and so he just slammed the Bible shut. He said, "I don't want to hear this." And he got up and ran out the door and slammed the door. So I went after him, you know, and even by the time I went outside, and because I talked to I just had to say, talk to this individual just for a minute. Folks, he was in his car, squealing his tires, going out of the parking lot. And is right standing there where God gave me a message. It is cheaper to obey the word of God than buy new tires. Yeah. Really? You can get mad at it. You can argue. You can slam the door and squeal your tires. But when you come back here, the word of God still says the same thing. It is forever settled in heaven. Heaven's going to pass away. Earth is going to pass away. But the word of the Lord shall never pass away. So therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. Do you know why we have so much trouble getting people saved anymore? There's no sinners. I mean, has anybody seen a sinner lately? I mean, in 2019, alcoholism isn't sin. It's a sickness. You know? Murder isn't sin. It's insanity. When he was 5 years old, his mother wouldn't let him push his oatmeal off the kitchen table. So now he's conflicted and he takes it out as an adult. I mean, in 2019, homosexuality isn't sin. It's an altered lifestyle. In 2019, abortion isn't sin. It's choice. I mean, in 2019, pornography isn't sin. It's art and expression. Do you know why the world has lost their true concept of sin? Because very few people esteem the word of God to be right. I want everyone here to know your bodies are not the temple of alcohol, tobacco, or drugs. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And I've seen the alcoholic delivered. I've seen the drug addict delivered. I've seen individuals. One man came to the altar smoking 5 packs of cigarettes a day. Yeah, God delivered them. Hallelujah. Folks, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Yes. And I don't care what the Supreme Court justice says. I don't care what the Hollywood movie star says. It's an abomination for a man to lie with a man and a woman with a woman. It's an abomination. It makes God want to vomit. It's that severe. And do you know what, folks? Someday every Supreme Court justice is going to stand before the just judge of all the world. You know that? That is why, folks, someone needs to esteem the word of God to be right. And abortion is murder, surely, as I'm standing in this pulpit. And the soil of America cries out with the fetuses and babies that have been vacuumed from the womb and snatched from the womb. Amen. This sick doctor in Philadelphia, even when it was born alive, he took a scissors and cut the spinal cord in half. I tell you, everybody, it is murder, surely, as I'm standing here. I'll never forget seeing a political cartoon where this homosexual, you know, with AIDS, filled the sores, was shaking his fist at God, saying, "Why don't you send a cure for AIDS?" And God said, "I did, but you aborted him." Do you know how much knowledge has been aborted? And I'm here to tell you, God loves the liar, God loves the drunkard, God loves the homosexual. Folks, amen, God loves God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Amen, there's not big sins and little sins in this church, everybody. But I want you to know, folks, there's something needs to happen where you esteem the word of God to be right. And the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Amen. But Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." All because it's the law of God. Amen. That's going to bring us to a place. Amen. Of repentance. So I esteem it to be right. The reason this church emphasizes so strongly, you must repent of your sins. Because repentance is right. Putting pins through your skin doesn't take away your sin. Filling out a visitor card doesn't take away your sin. Raising your right hand and accepting the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't take away your sin. But God commands all men everywhere to repent. God will ask us to go and ask us to give, but he does not ask anyone to repent. He commands all men everywhere to repent. There's more to repentance than ashes on your forehead and a few tears on your cheek or shaking a preacher's hand. Repentance is saying, "I don't want sin. I don't want what's wrong. I want what's right. I don't want disobedience. I want obedience. Repentance is a change of direction. Folks, where you turn your back on disobedience and turn your life toward, turn your life and heart toward obedience, and you walk away from it because you want to live your life pleasing in the sight of God. Repentance is aligning your whole life with what the Word of God says. There must be repentance. The reason this church baptizes by immersion in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, because there was no sprinkling found for water baptism in the Bible. Boy, someone told me the reason they ever started sprinkling is that there was a water shortage in 1274 AD. And I thought, man, 70% of the world is water. Really? Man. The word baptize means to plunge, to immerse, to dip. You must be buried with him by baptism. No one was ever baptized with titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost called over them at a baptismal service. But the one name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know what the church father says. I know what church history says. But I esteem the word of God to be right. Speaking in tongues is right. When they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they all begin to speak with other tongues, words that they did not understand. I've talked to people, but I felt chills go down the back of my neck and my hand shook, and I would never say that didn't happen. But if you're here tonight and you've never spoken with other tongues, there is more for you to receive from God. Hallelujah. Repentance, water baptism in the name of Jesus, receiving the Holy Ghost. Now let's turn to Acts chapter 2 and verse 36 for a moment. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And verse 36. Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. It says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. What? You mean we've crucified the Lord? They were praying, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, all right, everyone that wants to be saved, raise your hand, and we're going to give you a membership card. Fill out this card. We want your name, your address, your social security number, and your Visa card number. And do you want to be a member of this church? And I'm going to take these cards, I'm going to lay my hands on these cards and pray for them. And when I'm done praying for these cards, you're going to be saved. No one was instructed to fill out a membership card. What shall we do? Peter said, oh Lord, this service is, there's been such a great response. We've run out of cards. Listen, anyone else that wants to be saved, we have a counseling room over here. Go talk to Thomas and Bartholomew. Talk to the counselor. And when you come out of that room, you'll be saved. No one was instructed to talk to a counselor. What shall we do? Oh, God, thank you for this service, Lord. The cards are gone. The concert room is packed. Anyone else that wants to be saved, come on up here to the altar, raise your right hand, and repeat after me. I accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. No one was ever instructed to raise their right hand and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. What shall we do? Oh, thank you, Jesus, for this service. The cards are gone. The concert room is jammed. There's people at this altar, but I still sense we have some shy, bashful, timid people here tonight. Listen, we now have a toll-free number, 1-800-987-4949. You call the 800 club. I mean, the 800 number. They did not even have telephones. But when they said, what shall we do? Let's look at verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! What's your attitude toward that? Boy, take heed to it. Amen. You can be cleansed. Run to do it. Let it be more valuable than gold and silver. Let it be sweeter than honey. And esteem it to be right. Everybody, it is right. I was preaching revival, and I was in the pastor's home. The pastor and his wife are gone, and there was a knock on the door. And I opened up the door, and there were two very sincere Mormon boys there with a badge on their lapel. And they said, "We're here to talk about God." And I said, "Great! I love to talk about God. Come on in." And folks, and I went up to my bedroom and I got this book. All right? So I sat down in the living room. I opened up to the book of Acts and I kept them there. Because this is how the apostles acted. This is specific because we're built upon the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the chief core. These are the apostles we're talking about. I would not leave the book of Acts for about 20 minutes. Finally, this young man stood up. He says, "All right, it's my turn to talk." So he gave me the whole history of Mormonism, how Joseph Smith was plowing in his field in Elmira, New York, and his plow hit something hard, and he dug down there and found these golden plates, but he couldn't read them, so an angel came and gave him a special pair of glasses, all right, and he wrote the Book of Mormon. And this young man said, "What does that sound like to you?" And I said, "I don't want to sound rude or crude, but it sounds like a fairy tale to me." Do you understand? No one else saw the golden plates. Not his brother, his sister, his mom, or his dad. That's why one witness is not enough. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall a matter be established. And I said, "Do you fellows remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy?" They said, "Huh, we esteem every day as a day unto the Lord." I said, "Yeah." I said, "But Alan G. White saw a vision of the Ten Commandments and saw a gold ring on the fourth one, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." And Alan G. White wrote all the principles of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. She wrote the book called The Great Controversy Between Good and Evil. Folks, and my wife was raised Seventh-day Adventist. I would go to church with her on Saturday so she could go to church with me on Sunday. They had the Word of God here and the writings of Ellen G. White right here, and they made more reference to Ellen G. White than they did to the Word of God. I get the Seventh-day Adventist Ministers magazine called Ministry, and it's really a good magazine. But when you read the Ministry magazine, it's Ellen G. White said, Ellen G. White said, Ellen G. White said. And they said, "Well, we're not going to take the writings of Ellen G. White." I said, "Do you fellows think salvation is really in the mind? You know, in fact, you're sick and throwing up, and that's in your mind." No. Well, they said, "That's stupid." I said, "Not to the Christian Science faith." Because I said, "Mary Baker Eddy broke her foot. She was laying in the hospital in Boston, Massachusetts. And she said Jesus came and stood at the foot of her bed, and she wrote all the principles of the Christian Science religion." They said, "Well, we're not going to take the writings of Mary Baker Eddy either." So I said, "You mean you're not going to take the writings of Mary Baker Eddy, and you're not going to take the writings of Ellen G. White, but you want me to take the writings of Joseph Smith?" Now, folks, this book has many writers, but it only has one author. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Hallelujah! And you know what, folks? Heaven's going to pass away. Earth is going to pass away. And even tongues are going to cease. But the word of the Lord shall never pass away. Hallelujah. So read. Really. Read the Quran. Read Mary Baker Eddy. Read Joseph Smith. Read, I don't know, read Lewis L'Amour. I don't know. Read. But folks, but if anything in that book disagrees with this book, you got to put this book on top and say, "I esteem the word of God to be right." Let's all stand and clap our hands for the word, shall we? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to come to an altar tonight. How many of you have a Bible, the printed Bible? You know, I know we have these electronic Bibles. I'm not your pastor, but if I pastored, I'm going to tell my people, bring your Bible to church, all right? But anyway, but so you ignore what I just said. But anyway, bring your Bible to church, all right? Folks, it's not just a pretty book with a leather cover and maps in the back. And know what we're going to do? It's an insult to the Word of God not to open up an altar tonight. Do you know why? Because if you can be cleansed tonight, You can come to this altar and repent of your, I don't care what the sin is. God wants to forgive you of your sin. If you've never been baptized by immersion in the name of Jesus, it's right. And there's water here. I don't care how many times you've been in the altar to receive the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, but your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and this promise is unto you. If there's a backslider here tonight, and for some reason you started to look for loopholes in the Word of God, you know, but now, and you realize it doesn't make sense not to walk according to the law of God. So you can come to this altar tonight and again, let the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway. Folks, there are so many voices out here. Churches are like gas stations, one in every corner, storefronts. But folks, let the Word of God. Happy, fortunate, to be envied are individuals who walk in the law of the Lord. So if a musician would come, we're going to sing that old chorus. Here I am, Lord, here I am. Here I am, Lord, here I am. I give all myself to you, Lord. Here I am. This would be, folks, right now there's a cleansing effect in this building. Really. Have the Word of God elevated in your life, your spirit, and your attitude. I don't know if we need any praise singers necessarily. Sometimes I just like the praise singers to come to the altar too, you know. But anyway, but folks, turn around and pick up this book, okay? Will you pick it up? Because we're going to bring it to this altar with us tonight. Folks, the Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God. Let this service be the beginning. Let this service be the beginning of your obedience to the Word of God. What a great attitude. I will run. I will make haste. I will not delay to do what the Word of God tells me to do. So as we sing this old chorus, we invite every man, every woman, every young person, every guest, every visitor. Let's make our way to an altar tonight, shall we, in Jesus' name. Here I am. I wish everyone would make their way to this altar. I give all myself to you. Hallelujah. Here I am. Oh, this is beautiful tonight. Oh, here I am, Lord. Tonight. Oh. of the Lord right now, every guest and every visitor at this altar right now. Lord, I don't want sin. Jesus, let this service be the beginning of obedience to the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. God, let there be a cleansing effect in our heart, our mind, our spirit, our attitude, our lifestyle. Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Have your way, God, have your way. Right now, if you know of someone here that needs God, I wish you would help them pray. In Jesus' name, God, touch every visitor, touch every man, every woman, every young person, every new convert, every saint of many, many years. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Have your way, Jesus, have your way, have your way. Yes, God, let the word of God penetrate our hearts and our minds. Jesus. How was a young man made clean? By taking heed to what the word of God says. How was a young man made clean? By taking heed to what the word of God says. You can repent tonight, right now, Jesus. Right now, Lord. I will run. I will not delay. I will make haste to do what the word of God tells me to do. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Yeah, the word of God is speaking to you. The word of God is speaking to you. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Oh, here I am, Lord. No resistance, no resistance. Here I am. Have your way, Jesus. I give all myself to you. Here I am. One more time while the Spirit of God is here. Oh, here I am, Lord.
Here I am.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Raise our hands and thank the Lord for his touch right now. God, seed is being sown. God, the word of God is being penetrated in every heart. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. While we stand at this altar tonight, you that have your Bibles, let's open them to Psalm 19, shall we please? Psalm 19, because Psalm 19 parallels Psalm 119. Psalm 19 and verse 7, Psalm 19, verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect. Perfect. Know how I know that? Because the soul can be converted. The greatest miracle is not when the blind eye sees or the deaf ear hears. The greatest miracle is when the sinner becomes the saint. The greatest miracle is when the wife beater doesn't beat his wife anymore. The greatest miracle is when the alcoholic doesn't drink anymore. That's the greatest miracle. All right? The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I don't know if you have, if you can read or write. I don't know if you have your doctorate. I don't know if you have your BA or your, you know, BLT. I don't know. But folks, but folks, if you believe the word of God, you are a wise man.
Yes.
All right?
Amen.
Verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right. No, it causes our heart to rejoice. That's why when you hear the word of God, you're saying, it's right. You just want to say hallelujah or amen or raise your hands or do something. All right? Then it says, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Pure. That is why, folks, when you really believe the word of God, you know what is pure, what is impure. The Bible just simply says, don't put anything unclean in front of your eyes. So therefore, we are careful what we read, careful what we look at, careful what we watch. Listen, pornography, folks, is so addictive. It is. And it's ruinous. It doesn't bring a man up. It takes a man down. All right. It's disrespectful to women. When someone has an alcohol problem or a drug problem, it's kind of obvious, but the best-dressed man or woman in the church can be addicted to pornography. You know, and there's no visible signs. And it's rampant. And you know, President Reagan some years ago had a commission on pornography. Dr. James Dobson was on that committee. 6 months, $500,000 it cost. All right? And here's the book that they wrote. Attorney General's Commission on Pornography. Really? Here it is. Give the $500,000 to Brother Harry and me. We'll tell you. Folks, the book has already been written. Right here. And we want this. And they still cannot define it. Folks, really. So the commandment of the Lord is pure. All right, it enlightens the eyes. All right? Now, it says in verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether, no contradiction. Moreover, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping and obeying of them, there is great reward. Now, all these young people here, every saint in this church, you do not make a mistake by coming to this altar and repenting of your sins, being baptized in Jesus' name, receiving the Holy Ghost, and walking according to the law of God. All right. In keeping of them, there is great reward. Happy, fortunate, to be envied are individuals who walk in the law of the Lord. Let's clap our hands one more time. Pastor Harry.
Thank you, Brother Mackey. I want to elevate the word of God in this place. I know, I would say most of you have phones. If you don't have a Bible, a print Bible, one that you can actually turn the pages and you can't swipe them, we do have Bibles in the library right through this door to the right. If you want a Bible, need a Bible, just go in the library, pick one up. If we run out, we'll order more. We want to make sure everybody has a Bible. But I know you have your phone. So the best app you can put on your phone is a Bible app. Let me tell you about two of them that you can read the Bible every day. The first one is called YouVersion, Y-O-U version, and it has Bible reading plans aplenty. You can read one chapter a day. You can read three or four chapters a day. You can go through books. You can go through themes. You should put that on your phone. Or there's another one called Read Scripture. and read scripture before each book of the Bible is introduced. There's a YouTube video that explains briefly what each book is about. Very well done with an animator and a narrator. Very well done. That's called read scripture. So how many are going to go home, or even before you leave tonight, and put one of those two apps on your phone if it's not already there? Would you raise your hand? Let's see. All right, very good. How many already have it on your phone, one of those two? Oh, excellent. Fantastic. Okay, I won't ask how many are using it, but from tonight on, that's between you and God. From tonight on, as we learned this morning, we're going to spend each day, some time in prayer, and we're going to couple that with time we spend in the Word. Whether you have it on paper, you have it in your pocket, one of the way you're going to read and put the Word of God in your heart. But before we dismiss, I know there are people who want to be or need to be baptized either tonight or soon. So I'd like, if you would, just to bow your head, close your eyes. And if you're in the house and you want to be baptized, just in general, perhaps not tonight, but you want to be baptized. We'll get to that part in a moment. If you want to be baptized in Jesus' name, have never been, would you raise your hand? Everybody with their eyes closed, head bowed. Thank you so much, okay? Keep your eyes closed and head bowed. If there anybody who tonight you want to run and make haste, you want to not delay, but you want to be baptized tonight, be cleansed, have your sins washed away tonight. It's about 85 degrees in the water, so it's very nice. If you want that tonight, would you raise your hand? All right, thank you. One last question. If you want more information, a Bible study about baptism, about being born again, about being filled with the Spirit, about speaking with other tongues, do you have questions about it and want information, want a Bible study, would you raise your hand? Okay, thank you so much. Everybody can open their eyes. Thank you so much for being in the house of the Lord tonight. If you're a guest, as Brother Mackey has so well said, this will not save you, but it'll help us stay in contact with you. If you're a guest, right outside of these doors, there's a kiosk right out in our lobby. Please go out before you leave tonight. Click on I'm New. If this is your first or maybe second time here, just go by the kiosk, click on I'm New, fill out that little form, and we'll be able to stay in contact with you and you with us. If you appreciated the Word of God tonight, would you show Brother Mackey your appreciation for coming all this way from that state up north to Ohio to bless us by preaching the Word of God? We pray for safe travels to that state up north, Brother Mackey. We love you. Ohio loves you. Thank you for being with us. May the Lord bless you. Thank you for being in church tonight. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord Jesus.